Good morning, Word of Life Church.
Good morning.
What a great day to be alive.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to thank Pastor Ron and Gary for giving me another opportunity to bring the Word to Word of Life Church. It has been a very busy week, hasn't it?
Amen.
We've all been extremely busy. I think every day I've been busy. And I was saying that the other night I got awake at 2:30 in the morning. My husband was on the exercise bike, and I said, hey, we got to do something. We have 14 great-grandchildren, and I didn't have anything for them, but I gave presents to my grandchildren and their wives. So I said, oh, my goodness, we don't have anything for these children, so I'm going to make homemade caramel popcorn. So 2:30 in the morning, I was popping popcorn. And I had to bake it for an hour, and I just made up those little bags for my great-grandchildren. And a couple of them came yesterday, and they loved it. So praise the name of the Lord. He gives us all the great ideas. But I want to thank Ron and Gary for a lot of things, for being in our lives, for all of our lives, and for their belief in the healing power of Jesus Christ. Because that healing power of Jesus Christ is going to flood through their bodies right now from the top of their head to the very soles of their feet. And they are perfectly made whole, totally cleansed. Whatever sickness that has attacked their body is gone in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we believe that and we receive it. So let's all declare victory over their lives this day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So today, I'm going to talk to you about two distinctive things about the Christmas story we read in the Holy Scriptures. You know, if you're like me, for the past week, I have been looking at the Word, pondering it, meditating on it, reading the Christmas story. And I'm sure that a lot of you have done the same thing, because it's in our heart. And it's something that should be every day of the year. Searching the Word of God. But for some reason at Christmas time, it seems like the Christmas story penetrates our hearts. And we have a draw to it. We're drawn to it. But today, I'm not going to read the Christmas story per se, but I am going to talk to you about three women who played an important role in the Messiah's birth. And also, I'm going to talk to you about what do you do when you follow a star and find yourself in a stable, a lowly place, a smelly place. Think about that. Christmas. God reached down from heaven with the best gift of all. Love wrapped in swaddling clothes. Hope nestled in a manger. Hope for all mankind. A gift to be accepted, not just received. We need to accept that gift through our Lord. I want to share some information to you regarding the manger that Jesus was laid in. Of course, mangers are animal feeding troughs. We all know that. We've heard the story over and over. But in ancient Israel, they were made of stone. Not what you'd see in a modern nativity scene. In the modern nativity scene, you see the wood mangers. Sometimes you see them fancy mangers. But they were made of stone, and they weren't comfortable. But they were great for protection. And that's why those who were experts in this matter, the priest, would put their newborn lambs in them for protection. But not just any lamb. It couldn't be just any lamb. The unblemished, perfect lambs that were used to sacrifice for our sins. Now think about that. Way back then, the priest put the unblemished lambs into the manger. And Bethel was famous for their unblemished lambs used for their sacrifices. But they had to be perfect. So they would wrap them in tightly in cloth and lie them in the manger to keep them safe. This is exactly why the only time mangers are mentioned in Jesus' birth story is to the shepherds. Why? Because in Luke 2 it says that this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. The shepherds would have understood this powerful parallel. They knew what the cloth and the manger meant. This baby would be the perfect Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. the Messiah who would sacrifice his life for the sins of the whole world, for you and for me. He wasn't just a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He was God, perfect, sinless, and holy, humbling himself to be the perfect sacrifice, to reconcile us back to himself. That perfect lamb is why we celebrate every day. Every day we should be celebrating. Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna all played a vital role in the Messiah's birth. Their lives were different, just like our lives are different. My life is different than yours. Your life is different than mine. Elizabeth was married, settled, and mature. Mary was young, still living at home, and betrothed to a carpenter named Joseph. Anna was an elderly widow whose every waking hour was totally dedicated to God. Why did God choose these three women? Did you ever wonder about that? But then there was also Zechariah, Joseph, and Simeon. But it was the women who teach us by example to wait on the Lord, to trust him with everything that matters, to everything that matters in our life, to us, and to pray until our prayers are answered. Their honesty and humility show us what it means to surrender our lives to the one who loves us the most. God does truly love you. He loves every one of you. Every one of us. Even though sometimes we go through things and we do some things that maybe aren't pleasing to God, he still loves us. He always has, and he always will. God's love for you is wider, longer, higher, and deeper than anything you can ever imagine. Christmas is so much more than a holiday. I just dislike when they say, have a happy holiday. I turn around and say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's a season to reflect, prepare, and renew your mind to the story of the Christ child. How many of us have done that over the past week or two? Renewed our mind, prepared our mind for the special day, the story of the Christ child. You know, the birth of God's Son never grows old. It never will. And it never loses its power. Never, ever, ever will that story lose its power. The first woman in the story is Elizabeth, barren. But her name, meaning God's promise or oath of God. Her and Zechariah lived honorably and humbly before God. Women at this time bore full responsibility for bearing children. So she bore full responsibility for not being able to bear a child. She was the one marked as barren. A wife was expected to give her husband sons to maintain the honor of his name. When God's blessings are many in our lives, it's easy to be faithful, isn't it? Isn't it easy to be faithful when you're blessed and everything's going smooth and everything's fine? But what happens when the real tests come? When disappointments come? When sorrows come? I had to prepare this message this week in a couple of days. And I had at work this week too. And I went to see one of my coworkers. Her name is Aubrey. A couple years ago, she had a brain tumor. And a couple weeks ago, on a Tuesday night, I knew that she had to keep going for MRIs. So what happened is that she went for the MRI, they saw some shadows, and they wanted to give her chemo pills. But they didn't give her any. She received nothing. So she returned home, and it probably was about a month ago. But a couple weeks ago, she called and said, hey, on a Tuesday night, could you work for me tomorrow? I said, Aub, I said, you sick? She said, no, I don't know. But her voice was strange. So we went to work on Wednesday, and I found out she went to the emergency room. She was in the emergency room, and they found two large brain tumors again. Thursday, they did emergency surgery. They opened her head and they cut her. They closed it up again. If they would have taken the tumors out, she would become an invalid. So that was 3 weeks ago, and I went to visit her last Friday, and her it's very difficult for her to speak. However, we prayed with her, believed God for her. I said, Aubrey, you need a Christmas miracle. Well, they're going to be doing a clinical trial on her. There's three different hospitals that want her. But I believe in God that God's going to touch her life. She has three small boys. She's 32 years old. So faith is believing what isn't seen. And people, we need to believe what isn't seen. Look at our world. Look at our country. We need to believe that God is moving, and I know he's moving. There are things that he's doing that we don't really maybe understand. But we know that God is moving. And we need to praise God for that and keep believing. The things that we see happening all around us, don't worry about it. Faith is believing what is not seen. So people have faith in God. God makes the impossible possible. Christmas is all about miracles. And I'm going to share another miracle. I'm going to share you a real Christmas miracle about the Haitian missionaries. Do you remember the Haitian missionaries that were held captive? Believe me, Roger and I have been in Haiti, and he's been in some riots in Haiti, where they went down one narrow road, and he didn't know at the end of the road if it would be blocked, and the rebels were there, or what was going to happen. And then another time he was coming out of Haiti, and it was flooding, and it was a little car, and they had him in this little car taking him to the airport, and the water was up coming into the car. And if it would have came into the car and swept the car down into the ravine, he wouldn't be here today. And these Haitian missionaries were from the Christian Aid Ministries. And they were taken by the rebels in Haiti. And I talked with Bobby and Cherry Burnett, our friends over in Haiti, who we spent lots of time with when we were over there. And they said, so dangerous. The rebels took one of their vehicles. They have to be very careful where they go. And they don't live around Port-au-Prince. Here's the story. There are stunning details of how the Christian Aid missionaries finally escaped captivity in Haiti, and it sounds like something straight out of a movie. The remaining group of 12 missionaries made a daring overnight escape last week, eluding their kidnappers and walking for miles over difficult, moonlit terrain with one infant and two small children. The group used the stars. Now listen to this. Get this. Please, get this. The group used the stars as their guide to reach freedom after a two-month kidnapping ordeal. Officials announced the hostages were sensing God nudging them to attempt an escape over the time of their captivity. God gave various hostages a desire to attempt that escape. To attempt such a thing would be dangerous. Believe me, my husband and I know that. We've been in very dangerous situations. They sought God over and over again, seeking direction from him. After much discussion and prayer, they became solidly united that God seemed to be leading them this way. They sought specific signs from God, and he confirmed over and over that the timing wasn't right yet. How many times in our life do we hear from God and then we could run into it? But the timing isn't right. Their lives could have been just like that, wiped out. But you see, they waited on God's timing. Then the night of Wednesday, December 15th, arrived. When they sensed the timing was right, they found a way to open the door that was closed and blocked. Sounds like a jail situation to me many years ago. They found a way to open the door that was closed and blocked, and they fled silently to the path that they had chosen to follow and quickly left the place that they were held. Desperate, the fact that numerous guards were close by. I can tell you that numerous guards probably were close by. In the distance, they could see a mountain feature that they had recognized and identified. In the previous days, they identified this landmark before they knew that this was the direction they needed to go. You see, it's important for us to identify the things that God tells us before we step out. They also followed the sure guidance of the stars as they journeyed through the night, traveling towards safety. After a number of hours of walking, day began to dawn, and eventually they found someone who helped them to make a phone call for help. They were finally free. I don't know about you, but my heart is pounding really fast right now, because I've been there, I've done that, but I wasn't held captive like they were. So here's some few observations. They believed God was leading them. We need to believe God is leading us in everything that he tells us to do. They must not have been fearful, although they may have been, but they stepped out in faith anyway. They walked for miles over difficult terrain with children. You know, it couldn't have been an easy task to keep the children quiet. If the children would have cried out, their captors might have followed and found where they were going. God led them by the stars. God had given them a desire to escape, so they had to trust him. Even though they knew it was dangerous, they had to trust God. They become solidly united. You know, that's one thing that needs to happen in our country, in our world. People need to become solidly united. We might have differences, but we need to become solidly united. They ask God to show them what to do, seeking him over and over and over. Some people say, well, I prayed once, so God heard me, so that's okay. They sought God over and over and over. They waited for the right timing. They identified the landmark God was showing them in previous days, and they knew it was the direction that God wanted them to go. For 400 years, God did not speak, and now the angel Gabriel stood at the altar of incense and had a message for Zechariah from God. Your prayers have been heard, in Luke 1:13. The angel said, you will have a son, and you will call him John. Andy, would you please come and read the scripture? Luke 1, verse 8 to 23.
Now, while he served as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole crowd of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing in the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not fear, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well advanced in years. Let's see here. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And now you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things happen, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their season. The people waited for Zechariah and wondered why he waited so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he had made signs to them and remained speechless. As soon as the days of his service were fulfilled, he departed to his own home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she hid herself, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Is that where you wanted me to stop?
Yeah.
Okay.
You see, sometimes the promises of God seem too good to be true, too hard to believe. But if we want those promises to become a reality in our life, we have to believe and we have to trust God. You see, Elizabeth wasn't beyond the touch of God, the creator of all things. With God, all things are possible. Don't we say that sometimes over and over and over? We comfort ourselves with God, all things are possible. But we need to meditate on what things God did that shows that with him, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
Why would a person's age matter to our eternal God? He displayed his power, his might, and his authority. God blessed her to honor her faithfulness. God's strength is fully revealed when our strength is fully depleted. Amen. How many can say that? When I felt so weak, God's strength came in and his power. Oh, God, thank you for your power because it's made perfect in my weakness. Amen. You can say that. In Mexico, they'd be screaming right now. He is a refuge for the oppressed. He is a stronghold in times of trouble. Zachariah's loss of speech wasn't a punishment. It was the proof that he asked for, the assurance of God's power. 6 months after Elizabeth knew she was to become a mother, God sent Gabriel to Nazareth. You know, only 100 people lived in Nazareth. I'm going to skip it. Only 100 people lived in Nazareth. But God thought this small village worthy of his attention. Being loved by God will not spare heartache. Get this, my brothers and sisters. Being loved by God will not spare heartache. God helps you through it, the tragedies of life. God knew her tender heart, her trusting nature, her faith, and her humble spirit. Amen? While we go about our daily tasks, God's divine plan is unfolding. And at any moment, our lives could change. Any moment. They can change dramatically. God truly honors mankind. He honors you and he honors me. God has a plan for me and for you, just as he did for Mary. We are all highly favored. Do you have Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38? Okay.
In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And a virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled by his words and considered in her mind what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who will be born will be called the Son of God. Listen, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was declared barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Mary said, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be unto me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her.
So just think, there was only 100 people living in this little small town where Mary came from in Nazareth. But isn't it wonderful, and I can repeat this, isn't it wonderful that God thought this small village so worthy of his attention? Being loved by God, as I said, won't spare your heartache. Any heartache, any tragedies. But while we go about our daily tasks, God is on his divine plan for our lives. His divine plan is unfolding for each one of us. At any moment, when good or bad comes to our life, we can continue to praise God. This was a blessing. Like, may the Lord God be with you. It was a statement in fact. Gabriel said, God is with you. That's a statement in fact. The angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. I like the Lord to identify our fears and be quick to ease them. And I have to say this. How quick the Lord would ease our fears right now in our country if we would give everything over to him. There's nothing to be fearful. So many fear nots in Scripture. 300. Fear not, fear not, fear not. Don't be one to take fear on you. Fear is false evidence appearing real. So get over it and go on with your life because God is with you. God knew Mary's name just like he knows ours. And if he knew Mary's name just like he knows ours, won't he be there to help us and protect us? Jesus, his name means God saves. Sometimes we say to ourselves, no way, no way. It's impossible for us. Maybe it is for us, but not for God. So we may ask ourselves today, is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe for us, but not for our Heavenly Father. The answer is no. Nothing is impossible with God residing within us and through us. What could God do in your life today or tomorrow if you believe that he really can do the impossible? God chose Mary because he knew she would say yes. There is so much more to the story than Mary's obedience. But now there was Anna. I love Anna. After Jesus was born, you know the story, Joseph and Mary took him to the temple to present him to the Lord. They first encountered Simeon. Anna was involved in the temple. She did not leave it. She was there day and she was there night. She was a widow. She was involved. She cared deeply for people. She had a vital relationship with God. A female prophet, so to speak. Anna means favor or grace. She was older like Elizabeth. We know better than just to discount Anna just because she was far advanced in years. She's part of a long tradition in which God favored older women as channels of divine grace. In every season of life, we have worth as servants of the Lord. Anna was serious. She was serious about honoring her Lord, about seeking his face, about praising his name. How about serving without anybody praising her? She looked in one direction. She looked outward. And that's what a lot of us have to do when we go through the trials. Because we're not going to be spared some of those things, but we need to trust God and look up. Look up to him, because that's where our help comes from. Her heart must have leaped for joy when she saw Simeon holding a baby and praising God. If all of us would only praise God openly, praise him openly, if we gave him credit instead of taking it for ourselves, if the first thing that came to our mind was to glorify his name, we too might catch a glimpse of Christ. Don't you want to all catch a glimpse of Christ, our Savior? Our Savior, think of that. if there wouldn't have been a baby in a stiff, hard manger, there wouldn't have been a Savior. We wouldn't have the chance to look forward to eternal life. She was older. Anna was older. But she was bold. She spoke. She was a woman filled with exceptional devotion, incredible discipline, and endless dedication. Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna are among the mighty women who heard from God and gave God the glory. Amen? Can we give God the glory today? So may we not cast aside those who are older, who have the wisdom of God. They have lived serving God and have seen many of his wondrous works. How glorious to be used by God. When I read that story of the Haitian missionaries, there's so much a parallel to the scriptures, to how God moved in scripture and how he moved those people. And today, that ought to be encouraging to all of us that there are Christmas miracles and that you're in a situation where there's no way out. God is the answer. How glorious to be used by him. To know that the Holy Spirit is with us like Elizabeth. To ponder in your hearts like Mary. And to be completely, totally devoted to the Lord's sacrifice like Anna is a true determination for all of us to work for. Are you ready to work for that? I am. Have been. I am. And you are too. They stepped aside, making room for the one who truly matters, the real hero of the story. Of the story, the Christmas story, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the real story. He's the real hero of this story. So, the second part of what I want you to realize today is about the Magi, the wise men. What do you do when you follow a star, which could be a message from God, a dream, a vision, and then you find yourself in a stable? A place you never expected to be. A lowly place, an unexpected place. You know, we see portrayed, I'm sorry, but I have to say this, it kind of irks me. When I see the manger and the shepherds, and then the wise men are with them. Because the wise men weren't there. Jesus was between 1 and 2 years old when the wise men showed up at his house. So how that all happened? Well, I can understand it in our world, how it all happened. We're putting it all together. We don't study one thing and then go into the next. But the wise men came to Jesus' home. And one time in Mexico, we used to do dramas. And we portrayed a little boy sitting with his mother Mary inside the home. We told the whole Christmas story through the drama. And I'll never forget. We had a bale of straw there when we had the creche and we started the story. And we had a live animals. And the sheep, Mary sitting on this bale of straw, and the sheep started eating the straw. And we're like, oh, stop, stop, stop. What a sight to behold. Okay? So it's stable could be in your life a lowly place, something that you wanted to do, and then you had a dream, you had a vision, and then it didn't exactly turn out that way. How many have had that happen to them? Most all of us. We were in an unexpected place. And let's take a glance, let's take a look at what the wise men did. You all know the story. As I said before, Jesus was 2 years of old when they came, bearing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is associated with kings, believing that Jesus is the King of Kings. Frankincense is used in liturgical worship in traditional churches and showed that many people would praise and worship Jesus. Myrrh is a fragrance that is embedded on deceased bodies to make them smell pleasant. and represented that Jesus would endure persecution, resulting in his death. The gifts also are things that came from the east of Israel in Arabia. So your dreams, those things you prayed for and thought you heard from God, only to find yourself in an unlikely situation, a stable situation, not what you expected. So I want to tell you this morning, what do wise men do? What do wise men do when they find themselves in these situations? Number one, they look for God in the stable. It's not pleasant in the stable. It's not what you thought it would be. Don't panic. God is somewhere in there. And he put you there for a reason. It might be smelly. It might be hard. But God is there with you. Reading the book of Job, we find he went from a star, had a wonderful family, had everything in his life, to a stable experience in one day. David wrote Psalm 23, living in a cave. Weak Christians only see God in the good. Mature Christians see God in good and bad situations. Not only in palaces, but in stables too. The second thing they did was to give God their very best. It is not normal when we're facing situations unexpected to give God our very best, is it? When we're crying, boo-hoo, boo-hoo me, we don't want to give God our very best. We want pity. We want to be the victim. When you dislike where you are, it's hard to give your best. If you're the only one giving, please give your best. Number two, the wise men not only look for Jesus, but when they found him, they did not return in the same direction. So important. God is limitless. But what you need to do is you look when you're in a situation like that. Don't go back the same way. Look for God to change your direction. Because God is limitless in his power. He reduced himself to a baby so he could view the world through our eyes. He experienced everything we experience. See, if you're rejected, talked about, feel lonely, made many mistakes. Maybe many mistakes. I know I've made many mistakes. Whatever it may be for you, know that God just may want you to have a stable experience to change your direction. When you say to him, "You don't understand what I'm going through," he will say, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." So today I take the liberty to remind you that your life is not always living in a palace. We are human. We follow dreams and stars that lead us to stables. But know this, everything about Jesus was common, just like us. He knows our pain. He knows how hard we try. He knows our heart. He sees our future. If we just bear with him, when we have stable experiences, lowly experiences, he is there to lead us out. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
He's there to lead us out, every one of us, because he cares for us. And he knows where you need to be. I don't even know where I need to be sometimes. That's why we trust. That's why we have faith to believe. And God knows what needs to be done to get us where we need to be. So I leave you with this today. Look for God in the stable, for he is with you. Give God your very best, even when you don't feel like it. Don't go back the same direction. Look for God to change your direction. He knows. He is in control. So I know most of you here today, but I don't know who's out there listening to this message. I pray that this message really touched your heart. And I want to speak to you today as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many years ago, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I was at a Christian women's meeting, and I heard about Jesus. And I was going to church periodically, but I never heard that Jesus was really my Savior. And if I asked him into my heart, he would come in and he would make me a new person. A new person, a new creature in Christ. And he would fill me with this. He would put his Holy Spirit in me to lead me, to guide me, to comfort me. So if you're listening to this message today and you're in your home and you're out there and you say, well, there was one time I did ask Jesus as my Savior, to be my Savior. But I kind of slipped a little bit. It's like a train on a track, going up the track. And then it has a challenge and it stops. And then it slips down a little bit. I want to tell you, you're not far from God's reach. And you can come back to him. And if you're here today and you need to pray and ask Jesus to refill you, not only with his Spirit, but that you slipped a little bit and that you believe that he is the Son of God, that he was born. God sent him as a babe. God put his own self in Jesus, sent him as a babe so you could have eternal life. Pray with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I repent of my sins. I believe that you're the perfect Son of God. I believe that you came and was born and died for me. I believe you shed your blood on the cross for me. And Father, I have done some things that aren't quite right in my life, and I'm sorry. But I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to lead me and to guide me. I ask you, Father, to forgive me. If I have wandered away for a while, Father, I ask you, you never left me, but I left you. So, Father, I thank you today. I dedicate my life to you. And just as Sister Nancy ministered today, Father God, I want to see that star. I want to follow that path. And I want you in my life to lead and to guide me. I'm sorry, Lord, but now I receive your forgiveness and I go on from here. The past is gone. The future is bright. I know that you have me and my name is written in the palm of your hand. I pray this all in the mighty and precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And as you see over here to my right is a candle. It's a Christmas candle. It represents Jesus, the light of the world. Because Jesus Christ truly is the light of the world. Amen. And he wants our light to shine. So regardless of how we're feeling or what we're thinking or how many attacks we come under or what we read in the news, which I don't know why we would ever read the news.
That's right.
But what we read in the news, we have to remember that this represents the light of the world. And as we light our candles will also represent the light that's living within us. And that light is a reflection of Jesus. Whether you feel like it or not, it is a reflection of Jesus. So Father, in the name of Jesus, may this light not just be light of a candle, may it be your light. May you fill this whole place with your presence through the power of your Holy Spirit. And may we realize that when we lift our light through this candle, it is the light that you have placed within us. And if our light has gone dim in any way, may this light rekindle the light within us to help us to restart the hope and the joy and the power of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.